Yes. Dr. Behrens?
Here.
Mr. Heck?
Here.
Mrs. Myers?
Here.
Mr. Van Wachanova?
Here.
Mrs. Vincent?
Here.
Mrs. Williams?
Here.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Here. Can we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening?
Yes, we need to add new business item B3G. And this would be the 2023-24 and the 24-25 district calendar.
Okay, can we get a motion for the addition and to lock in our agenda?
Motion to add that to the agenda.
Support?
I'll support that.
Jamie, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova?
Yes.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mrs. Zimmerman?
Yes, and the motion carries. Superintendent comments? Mr. Shaw?
So tonight, you don't see any kids here. We will be honoring at our next Board of Education our students that are graduating from our Student Board of Delegates. But what I do have is for my first set of comments. Always when the public addresses the board, I reach out to public members. And I did so in this last meeting, and a lot of it had to do around in regards to bullying. So I did talk to all but one person, left two messages. So I'll still reach out to that person. And the follow-up was just that letting them know that we listened to what they had to say, and if also if they had any other questions. And there were no more questions towards the board, just notes that I took down as we move forward there. But I did reach out to all of those community members. So that's all I have for my first set of comments.
Okay. Darla, do we have any public commentary on board agenda items only?
Yes, we do. The first one up would be Dale DeSlober. Dale, I'm sure you know how this process works.
Sure.
3 minutes, and I'll give you notification.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is this thing on?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here to address this board. My name's Dale DeSlover, 211 North Macomb Street, Monroe, Michigan. I'm a candidate for the ISD school board. I think most of you have known me for quite a few years, some just a few months, actually, the newer board members. I just wanted to briefly go over my connection to the ISD and to Monroe Public Schools. I was an electrician for Monroe Public Schools for 26 years. I retired 9 years ago, so I was very involved with Monroe Public Schools and public education. My connection to the ISD, most of you know, probably know, the Ed Center is just celebrating 50 years. It was built in 1973. In 1977, as a union electrician, I helped to build the addition on there. So we had a lot of, my wife was a sub there, a building sub, and we knew what a good program they had. And so in 1983, we adopted our youngest daughter, Shannon, who had Down syndrome, because we knew what a good program the ISD had. We had four other children at the time, so Shannon's our youngest. She's 45 now. Wow. So I've been on the board since 2005. You have that information. I've been very involved with public education all those years. The Knabush Math and Science Center, there was the people that were there at the start of that program when June had her dream. I think I might be the only one still alive. I was there right from the get-go in the Knabush Math and Science Center. Our oldest daughter, Adele's a public school teacher. She's taught at Mason for about 25 years. So public education is very important to me. And I just ask you to consider voting for me for another 6-year term. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks,
Dale.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That conclude what we have? Nope.
Russell Bless. Hi, Russell. Thank you.
Good evening, and thank you. Again, just like Dale, I turned in my application, and I just want to give you a little bit of background on me and want to appreciate the time that you've given me to speak to you. I have a son, special needs. He was diagnosed at 3 years old at the University of Michigan as autistic, and he started preschool at Custer in their preschool program, went through kindergarten, and then through Mosaic classrooms in Monroe, Summerfield, Mason, and then finished out at the Transition Center. And he'll be finishing up this year. I was highly involved in his education and became a member of the PAC, the Parent Advisory Committee at the ISD. And when one of the openings 8 years ago came on to be part of the ISD as a board member, that's when I took my opportunity because I believe strongly in the special needs programs in Monroe County and being from 4 different school districts and seeing what's going on in the community. I wanted to be part of that and expand it to the least restricted environment for our students. So as I grew with the ISD and learned more and more and see all the other opportunities we provide to our students via technology, special ed, and also teacher training, I just continue to grow as myself. I go to MASB meetings at least twice a year to increase my education, knowing what to do as a board member. So I just want to let you know and explain my situation so you have a better background of why I'm running for ISD to continue my career there. So thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That concludes public comment. Okay.
That moves us to acceptance of reports. We have our contracted service reports. Is there any discussion? We don't have to vote on that group. All right, that takes us to consent agenda items. Let's see, are there any items that a board member would like to move off of the consent agenda item and move it to new business?
Yes, I'd like to move the board work session and board meeting number 8, please.
Okay. We have a motion and support on that, correct?
Mm-hmm. You'll need to make one.
Yep. Can we get a motion?
I'll make a motion. Can I go ahead and make a motion?
Yes, you absolutely can.
I ask myself. I'll make a motion to remove B2A. How do you want to break that down?
Yeah. Yeah, just go ahead and state those 2 sets of minutes.
Including the board work sessions and board meeting 8. And approve to accept the department committee meeting. And B2B through B2D as consent agenda items approved as noted.
Support.
Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none, could we have a roll call, please, Jamie?
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion passes. That brings us to staff resignation. Mrs. Flynn.
Nope. Got
nope.
Yep, we're all.
Oh, yes, we do. Sorry about that. So where are we adjusting this to?
So, yeah.
I will.
Move those down to.
I think normally we take those right before we do anything.
Right. We either have to address them immediately after the motion, or we can move them to a later portion of the meeting.
I thought we had moved them to new business.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what we're moving to?
I don't know. I didn't.
When did we do that?
We have it.
Oh, we have it. Okay.
So
I just move them down.
Let's move them down.
Okay.
Just move them down.
To right below here.
Yep,
right
work
below
on them now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right.
Would we like to make a motion on this?
Do we have to do a motion?
I don't think that needs a motion.
No, we just moved them down there, so we're going to address this as a new business item right now because consent agenda is done.
Okay.
So, Darlie, go ahead. And.
I requested that the meeting minutes be pulled. The board work session. I know we've had this discussion before about what is included in meeting minutes of a board meeting. I'm of the mindset that a board meeting should include board member comments, board member statements, and board members' input into the meeting. My concern on the board work session is that although it was over 2 hours of discussion between the administration and the board, it doesn't accurately reflect that the board had any pros or cons to the program that was indicated.
So where do we jump to from here?
I think, ask Darla if she has any suggestions.
Give me suggestions of?
On how you like to correct the.
Yeah, how do you want to correct this?
My suggestion would be that we go back, as we have done in the past, and review the recorded information that's been recorded and looked for any misinformation, particularly the board participation in the board meeting. And bring it back to a vote at the next board meeting and put it back up.
So maybe we should just table this for the next meeting until such times as.
Just use your microphone and tell us.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I'm not the parliamentarian.
You're the long-term person.
Nope, you're all right. You're the oldest guy on the board here. Go for it.
Gray hair has some benefits. I suppose what we should do if Darla's has that concern and she would like to make that motion, I suppose what we should do is give Jamie a chance to make those modifications as directed, and then it can either come up at the next meeting and it can be voted up or down, whatever not the case may be. Yep. Is that the same on your other issue as well?
No.
Okay.
Well,
is that your motion then to have?
So my motion would be then to
Jamie correct or
have the board work session minutes reviewed and updated with board comments and inclusions, and bring it back to the board at the next regular scheduled board meeting.
If that's your motion, then I'll second.
That's my.
Can I ask a question?
Is it misinformation or omitted information?
Omitted.
Okay, because I thought I heard missed info.
Yeah.
Misinformation.
Instead of omitted, yeah.
Okay. If the meeting is recorded, could it not just be made available with that information digitally? Mm. Would that suffice?
I don't know if that would really suffice. I think what Darla's saying is that she'd like the minutes to reflect specific things in there, so that the public would have access to that, things of that sort. Okay. So which
it's a board meeting, should have board member comments.
That's
in
fine.
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a motion and a second on the table.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Darla.
I made the motion.
I support
so
that.
So did we catch the wording of the motion?
I've got it recorded. I just
okay.
wanted to clarify if you made
yeah.
it.
Okay.
Could
Thank
you repeat
you.
The
Yeah,
motion.
That's why I'm saying. We'll make sure it's right.
Scott, come on, don't.
Ready for roll call?
Yes, roll call, please.
Right. Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, that motion passes. Now that we talk about the second one you
yes.
have, Darla.
On the board meeting minutes, there is the same request for the inclusion of board member comments were excluded in the areas. The other concern on the board meeting minutes is that there was a parliamentary process error that was made. There was a motion that was made that was seconded that did not get a roll call vote, and another motion was made and approved. I believe as a board, we need to go back and we need to correct that error and reflect an accurate record. So I make a motion that the record be updated with board member comments as indicated, and that the motion with the roll call vote be addressed at the next
board meeting.
Andy, next board meeting. Yep. Next board meeting.
Yep. Do you know? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to finish what
go ahead.
Happened then.
Yeah.
So
she made a motion. Should yep. we get a second?
I'll support that.
Thank you.
I'll support.
Okay.
You'll support it.
All right.
So appreciate
now let's,
that.
Now let's get into the discussion, yeah. correct?
Yes.
So on that one right there, what we'll be doing is understanding the that motion, and it reflects then the board member comments and or discussion questions there for the board meeting. And then along with that, then bringing back in that whole point that a motion was created and seconded for the middle school PA system. It ended up being not voted on, and then it was tabled through motion and support, and the board tabled it. So the question is...
Tabling disposes of a motion. So that's the, I mean, I don't think you had to vote on that one.
So even though you don't have a roll call vote, if there was a table after that?
If the table disposes of the motion, right?
No.
Okay, I looked for that all day today.
I read the book. If there is a motion on the table and it's been seconded, we have to finish that.
No. And that's, when we table it, that's an amendment to the motion.
I looked for it, I could not find the exact wording.
And then that takes precedence over the motion.
I don't think it does.
Even if we do bring it back up...
Let's research it.
Even if we do bring that back up, it would still have to follow the language and the verbiage and the wording that was used in the original motions and the original table. You cannot go back and re-undo the language and the verbiage without some other major measure.
So yes, we will research it and inform you of how we will...
We'll figure out.
That...
Jamie, could we have roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Okay, what are we voting on?
So what's being voted on right now is that...
I made the motion that the board minutes will be addressed from the inclusion of information from the board, and that the motion and no roll call vote will be addressed at the next board meeting.
Okay. Yes.
Mr. Hatt?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mrs. Van Wachanova?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes, and the motion carries. Now, does that carry me down to stand?
There we go.
No, we're already done with that.
Oh, all right.
Down here to...
And if you want it, I do have information on tabling a motion.
Okay, great.
So Robert's Rules of Order are that you are tabling a motion currently on the board to,
whatever.
I'll read this. Only when it is necessary to suspend consideration of a main motion in order to deal with another matter that has come up unexpectedly and which must be dealt with before the pending motion can be properly addressed. So I believe we were correct.
Yeah.
So we did our...
Okay, we're fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're done the new business now.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next on the agenda is new business. That would be the ISD board member election. Does somebody want to make a motion?
I will. The Board of Education designates Dr. Scott Behrens as its representative to the electoral body, and the Board of Education identifies Rita Benicki for the six-year term and Dale DeSlover for the six-year term as who it supports for the position to be filled on the intermediate school board at the June 5th, 2023 election.
Is there support?
Support.
Okay, any discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, could we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Van Wachanova?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Hatt?
Yes.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes, and the motion carries. That brings us to the Pre-Medica Transfer Agreement. Mr. Shaw.
So at our last board meeting, we shared with you the transfer agreement, and so there were some questions raised. I want to address those to the best of my ability. The name of the organization is Mercy Memorial Hospital on the agreement, and that is solely due to the fact of they retained their that name due to tax purposes. And so the agreement states this, but it's through Pro-Medica.
So are we gonna address these one by one?
Yes.
So when I researched what is Mercy Memorial Hospital Corporation, and located at 718 North Macomb Street, a different systems came up. There is a Mercy Memorial Corporation that is a general acute care hospital in Monroe. There is a Mercy Memorial Hospital Corporation that is on 219 West Front Street, but their mailing address is 718 Macomb. And then there is a Mercy Memorial Hospital Corporation Mental Health Clinic in Monroe on 700 Stewart Row, and their mailing address is also 718 Macomb. So when we say that there's like, how is that ProMedica? Why wouldn't ProMedica use ProMedica?
And when I asked that question of the people that gave me the agreement there, and I don't have his name right in front of me, he said that it's stated in here that it's this way because it's left as Mercy Memorial Hospital Corporation.
So how many beds does Mercy Memorial Hospital Corporation have as separate from ProMedica Hospital? They can't both have the same beds.
No. I don't know all the details, but I think, I don't want to be critical here, but I think some of that's done for billing purposes. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, if I recall correctly, ProMedica purchased the rights for Mercy Memorial, including all those subsidiaries that you mentioned there. And I don't think they have beds. I think they are just, if I remember right, they do some of the medical parts of it.
Mm-hmm. They have like 24 staff member.
Yeah.
For the corporation, which is,
and then
yeah,
know the,
it starts becoming very, very complicated.
Oh, yeah.
So this is really.
That's why I would like the language.
This isn't complicated. What they're asking for is that if something drastic, devastating happens in our community, that Monroe High School Gymnasium would be used as a location for them to move patients at that time. The duration of time, how long the patients would be there, depends on the severity of the situation that we're in. And remember, too, that Monroe High School is a shelter, and so that is another component to that. So other questions were liability insurance. We carry our own liability insurance, just like the organization does, current to the agreement. The agreement was created by the Mercy Memorial, okay? This was not something that we created here. It's so just they're asking for a location should there be a disaster or something happen.
It's still a contract.
Yes.
You know, so my question is the general and professional liability increased and there's an additional cost into our own waiver because of taking this on? This is 120 patients that could have anything from basic skill needs to critical care needs because a hospital has critical care.
So all we're doing is be supplying the gymnasium for them to go to. And it says in there about the insurance is that we carry what our board sees fit. So we already have.
There is no additional cost then?
No.
Okay.
Because we're not adding. We're just that each entity has its own liability insurance there. As far as if the board elects to approve this patient transfer agreement, that any the protocols that would happen would be that if Monroe High School is in session at that point in time, again, for that to happen, I mean, you got to think of almost the worst case scenario. So at that point in time, we're already having to maybe look at an evacuation of Monroe High School, but if it's not and something different happens where they're moving patients to the high school, we're closing the gym until we get our high school kids out of there. I would anticipate that, honestly, as we think about this like a bigger scheme, that these patients would not be there long. They're just using it as a temporary location while they move to other hospitals.
Like a triage, sorry.
You know, doing whatever they got to do there. But that would be, and so it's really just they needed a place and asked if Monroe High School could be, gymnasium could be that location.
But Andy, it also says, go ahead, Larry.
Oh, I was going to ask.
Tom, I mean.
Yes, sir.
I don't see anything in here about what roles and responsibilities our employees would have in this situation. I'm thinking specifically maintenance workers or janitors.
So in that situation, again, if that's what's happening right there, we're with the leadership of the hospital and going, what are there any other needs? What's the duration? What's the move out? All that stuff. The best I can link this to, and I don't know if they would be doing something similar, but I know that we've had, there are other schools, for example, Erie Mason is used as an evacuation location because it's out of the ring for Fermi. And so we went through a practice 2 summers ago of that, and so people knew where people were, how it was being used in that building there. Would there be any trainings or thoughts right here? I haven't asked that question of them. Would that go there? My guess is that would be a request there of it. They're just looking at the gymnasium, and then, and if they had to bring electronic, not electronic stuff, I'm sorry, paper records of, for the patients, that we would provide them a secure location, basically an office right there, so that can be under lock and key. So we would have personnel there to help assist in that.
The other part that I highlighted was the school responsibility. And I always look, when we sign a contract, we should, mm-hmm. like, be really clear on what we're signing. Like, I'm just, so it says, the school agrees to provide all resources needed to ensure continuity of care. Now, anybody that's worked in healthcare knows that ensuring resources to provide continuity of care is a very high order. You're talking all kinds of medical equipment might be necessary, and it's listed as a school responsibility. So for a maximum of 120 patients. So you start breaking that down on people that need oxygen. You start breaking that down on people that need major equipment or any of that kind of stuff. My thought is, like that's a big deal. And that says that's a school responsibility to provide continuity of care. So where's our nurses, where's our doctors, and where are we getting all them from?
Well, if we look at it further, physical building, house, patients, power, heating, cooling. So, for example, I can think of, there's not, how many power outlets do we have in our gymnasium? 5, 8? So we're going to be grabbing, helping with extension cords from other areas to pull in there.
That's not continuity of care.
They give a description underneath there. These resources include, but are not limited to.
But are not limited to. They include those kind of things. But my thing is, if we're signing a contract saying we're going to provide continuity of care within a healthcare system, that's kind of a big deal.
Okay, anybody else have any discussion on this? Carrie?
I would say that if we're being asked to house these patients and for whatever term of time, it's because there's some disaster, tornado or fire or something has ravaged the hospital facility and they need a space. Right. And they've probably already looked at, can they move them to Toledo, Taylor, Ann Arbor, other places as well. So we're like the last resort. We're not going to be housing patients every week.
Right.
This is
right.
In case.
I'm not suggesting we shouldn't supply the contract. I'm just suggesting that as a Board of Education, we're signing a contract to provide that we understand continuity of care, that we understand the resources that will be needed for, like you say, when it's a disaster. It could be a lot of different things. I mean, you could have people that you know, have major physical damage and harm done. And so if we say continuity of care, that just means something.
Larry V, got anything to add?
The only thing I would definitely say, in picking up with Darla's, Cassie, I would ask that we at least notify our insurance company. And if they want to make adjustments, that's up to them. If they don't, that's fine too. But at least to put a notice.
Mary?
I would consider it similar to any facility use that we require the organization that's using our facilities to have adequate insurance and provide proof of that prior to occupying the space. And I can certainly reach out to our insurance representative to ensure there isn't anything else that we need to do. Okay. But I would anticipate that the contract indicating that the hospital system is responsible for their liability insurances and it's just using our facilities would be sufficient as long as they provide proof of said insurance that's required.
Because, I mean, if somebody trips over, mm-hmm. like Andy said, an extension cord,
right.
I just
mm-hmm.
want to make sure that they're,
yep.
they're good with that. So.
Yep. And I would imagine their policy would be similar to when our students are, say, in the parade downtown Detroit for Thanksgiving. We have to provide the parade mm-hmm. company a copy of our insurance indicating on this date, to the extent of this parade, that our insurance is covering our students and staff members that are present.
Mary?
Oh, I was just going to kind of echo what Cassie already addressed. Like, we already have some policies regarding facility usage, and I would assume that those policies would apply to this agreement.
Scott?
Every part of me wants to say yes, because if this happens, if something happens to enact this agreement, something bad has happened in Monroe. But I think it's worth doing our due diligence. We have legal counsel to look over Section 7 of this to just ensure that the school is not being held liable to things that we cannot be liable for.
Good.
Yeah. No, and I will to the questions that Darla posed, I will also be getting more answers to those.
Would this be right for a motion to table?
I can't imagine you're going to say that.
I move to table this motion into the next meeting while the superintendent looks into the questions that have been raised.
I'll support that motion.
Support, all right. We have roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Hatt.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion carries. Brings us to Trojan Build, Mr. Shaw.
All right.
Excuse me, number four.
Yeah, Trojan Build 4, which is wonderful. And Mr. Bell, can you step to the microphone, please? I promise it won't hurt much. Guaranteed. So, for those that haven't had a chance to get out there, it is a beautiful house. I think it was about a month ago, the last time I was out there. Exciting to get back out there and see it. It's a two-story. And so it's the fourth build right there. In your packet, you can see that there has been it's been appraised at $330,000. For those that aren't aware, this is step one of about three that we take in the sale of the house. So, Tom, is there anything you want to share about this building, the uniqueness of it, and actually what kind of brought it in at $330,000?
Not really sure, you know, that's kind of Mr. Taft's realm, and I've always let him handle that part, and I've always trusted Mr. Taft with that part of the structure of the home. As for the home itself, we're excited to be wrapping things up. It's very, very, very busy right now. We've got multiple subcontractors as well as all three classes in and out of the house this week and next week, and we'll be celebrating the seniors. Tomorrow will be the last day that they'll be out at the house. We'll be holding them back on Thursday to give them their much deserved and traditional CTE barbecue that they look forward to, where welding and auto and the construction kids kind of get to talk with each other and have a burger and a hot dog and just decompress and give them that time to have that one last day to be together at the high school. So just excited to wrap this one up. Trojan 5, all of the bids and stuff are already out and already starting to get stuff in. And I gotta say, I'm already chomping at the bit to build the next one. It's a very exciting house, and yet again, very unique, and unlike any of the other four. So that's the one nice thing about these is every single house is completely different.
So the correct answer was, Tom, it's getting $330,000 because you and our kids do a phenomenal job of building. and it is unique to that area. That's why we got $330,000 appraisal.
Yep, it is. It's a well-laid-out house, and it's got pretty much all of the amenities that any good builder would have in the area. I'm constantly talking with all of the subcontractors if they see something that, you know, that they could give me advice on. So it's just a real nice partnership that we have formed with the Monroe community. We're clicking on all cylinders right now.
The upstairs is set up for basically two or four kids. I mean, if you double them up, but there's a bonus room. I mean, the upstairs for kids is just, they may never come downstairs.
Yeah.
So any of you that are looking for a house with kids and don't want to see your kids, this is one to build. Yeah. Moving upstairs to stay in put.
And I do look forward to you all June 8th, as you guys, I'm sure, have gotten the invite. We'll be catered by Dickie's Barbecue as well, who is a MHS graduate. And so a lot of stuff going on out there. Give you guys the opportunity to walk the house, be able to see some of the students. Quite a few students will be there with their families. So that way they're always willing to talk to people. So please come out and see all their hard work.
So I appreciate that. So tonight, we're asking for the approval of the listing with Nina Riggs and the Colwell Banker Haynes. The listing price of the home at 15441 Charles Street, Monroe, Michigan, 48161, is $330,000.
This is a great job, great rate. You guys should be on HGTV. And I will move this forth.
Support.
All right. Any discussion?
And I think we should thank Nina, too, for all
absolutely
she's done in the past.
Yes.
She here?
She does. Years. She's not, no, I don't see her here, no.
That's a very generous rate.
And as yes always, Tom, you do a phenomenal job. Yep. We're lucky to have yep you.
We're good.
Can I get a vote, please, Jamie?
Yes. Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes, and the motion carries.
Can I make a wish list to him?
What did we forget?
I forgot to thank Mr. Taft. Sorry.
Oh, jump in there and thank him.
Yeah. I think we should thank Mr. Taft, too, for all the work he does and
yes
has absolutely done in the years. Sorry about that.
All right. That brings us to the TCRWP Summer Professional Development. Ms. Joseph.
Thank you, President Zimmerman. Tonight, we ask the board to move to approve the purchase of the Homegrown Summer Institute Professional Development from the Reading Writing Project Network. This purchase will be funded from ESSER 3 at a cost of $28,900.
Can I get a motion?
So yes moved. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go. Love this project. This is fantastic. I move this forward.
Support.
Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, please, Jamie.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes, and the motion carries. That brings us to Envision Math Purchase. Ms. Joseph.
Thank you again, President Zimmerman. We ask the board to move to approve a six-year purchase of the Envision Elementary Math Program at a total cost not to exceed $388,669.60, with $194,334.60 due on July 1st, 2023, and the remaining $194,334.60 due on July 1st, 2024. This purchase will be funded from the general fund curriculum budget.
Can I get a motion?
I move to support the six-year purchase of Envision Elementary Math Program.
There's support.
Second that.
All right. Discussion? Hearing none. Roll call, please, Jamie.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
No.
Mr. Van Wassenova?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes. And the motion carries. That brings us to the ratification of the administrator's contract. Mrs. Flynn.
Thank you, President Zimmerman. Tonight, we're asking the board to move to ratify the master agreement for July 1st, 2023 through June 30th, 2025 between the Michigan Federation of School Administrators and the Monroe Board of Education effective July 1st, 2023.
Can I get a motion?
So moved to ratify the master agreement for our admin team.
Support.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yes. So I am very happy and excited to see that we are investing in our administrators, that we are showing our support for the hard work that they do every day. And I hope that we can continue to make that investment in Monroe Public Schools staff and faculty.
Anyone else? Roll call, please, Jamie.
Mrs. Williams?
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova?
Yes.
Mrs. Myers?
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
Yes.
Dr. Behrens?
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes. And the motion carries. That brings us to school calendar. Mrs. Flynn.
Thank you again, President Zimmerman. Tonight, we're asking the board to approve the 23-24 public school calendar and 2024 through 2025 public schools calendar for those school years. That's my motion. I just want to add to that motion
okay
that this was, we listened to our parents, we listened to our teachers, and we listened to our administrators, and I think that they are all going to find this much better than we've done in the past, and I'm very proud to put my signature on it.
I agree, it is a huge success.
It was really simple to do, taking all the input and making it the best that we could, and I think that every person's going to be pleased with it. We're doing late starts instead of early releases on Wednesdays, and I think that is going to, that is what the parents wanted, versus the half days. So we have a few half days, but not nearly as many as we've had in the past.
I'd like to thank your team for all the hard work, because I think this is a huge improvement.
Well, I couldn't do without my team, and it really was, the working with the teachers group is very easy, and our team, Mrs. Joseph, Mr. Shaw did join us some on it when he could, but we were very pleased with the results and with how it ended up working out for teachers and students and parents.
Can we get a motion?
I move that the 23 through 25 calendars be approved.
Support?
Support.
Any discussion?
If we wanted to, at some point, change the, I guess the 23, 24 would be pretty hard because we're almost there. The 24, 25, could we do that? Or?
We are not publishing. Okay. We are not publishing the 24, 25 calendar right. We are not.
Okay.
Publishing it right now. We are going to publish the 23, 24, which Mr. Shaw can tell you the exact,
yeah,
of how that's going to work, mm-hmm, but we are not, we will keep this back,
yep,
as soon as, yeah, as long as we can.
So the 24, 25, if we need to change that, we could, yep, right?
Yes.
So the 24, 25 calendar, what we're going to need to do is on December 1st, as a cabinet, we'll be meeting, because our normal Friday meetings, mm-hmm, and discuss the calendar at that point in time. If there's no adjustments need to be made to it, we'll be pushing it out. That way parents can have it well out in advance. And then the 25-26 calendar work,
yeah,
we try to stay out 2 years. We'll do that in March, bring that to you, and then, mm-hmm, still that next December. So we're trying to make so that the following year's calendar is published in December. So yes, September, October, right in there, if you guys have questions on that calendar for the 24-25 year, that's when we would begin looking at it. But right now, though, we wanted to have the methodology so that they're locked down for 2 years. And if we need to make an adjustment because something comes awry, we could. That's why we're not publishing it. But the goal would be that it holds.
Okay.
Well, my question to Sandy was just, does the calendar become contractualized? And she said yes, so we need to,
yeah,
be aware of those dates then.
Yeah.
Well, what we would do is we would ask the board if they have any questions.
Yeah.
And we would also have course. Well, we meet with the union every Friday.
Yep.
So as time goes on, if they have any problems, they will not hesitate to tell us, which is awesome. We have good communication.
Yeah. Remember, the calendar is bound by 180 student days, 181 teacher days, 1,098 minimum number of hours, and then the contract provides for 5 half days. That's why there's half days in there, okay? Mm-hmm. Plus, we have to put 30 professional development hours in there. So that's why when you see the calendar constructed the way it is, and we also follow the county calendar, which is the first day of school and Christmas vacation and spring break.
I know there's some discussion about lengthening the school year, so I didn't know if that would mess us up on it. And I don't know if that happens in 24, 25 or when it happens.
We really think that this really, we talked about this today with Mrs. Joseph and Mr. Shaw, and I talked about how this really, if it would come as fast as 24, 25,
mm-hmm,
that we really feel that this calendar would really support that to be added on. So I think we're headed really in the right direction.
So in that sense, I mean, it's contractual, but not, well, I don't know.
Well, it would have to be talked to with the group, but we kind of have, you know, with our summer spectacular.
That's true.
And let's face it, we're really all year.
Mm-hmm.
We're just, it's different. It's in a different format. Because
right,
some of our students go every week, Monday through Thursday. Wouldn't you say that's true, Mrs. Joseph?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Especially those who are short in credits.
Yep.
with the high school program, the way that we run it. It really is a benefit to those people that need to graduate.
And I suppose really 24, 25, by the time everything gets wrapped up, it'd probably be beyond that anyway, I'm assuming. I don't know that.
But going with the two-year calendar is a practice that we started 2 years ago, and I really do think that it really is the best way to go.
And Larry, really to answer your question too that you're presenting, is that if the state of Michigan was to push for more student days, all of your contracts are already in place, so many times that that adding of days to a calendar doesn't go into effect until your contracts are up, because you know that stuff's all negotiable.
And if I can, without overstepping, it would be part of the contract, but we still could negotiate it should there be a need to change what was already been agreed to.
And our teachers,
just like we had this year, there was a half day that we had to move because of the testing schedule. So we brought that back to the board, got that approved, pushed that out to the families. So even though we're agreeing to it, there is still, if a need arises, a way to mitigate whatever issue is going on.
And our teachers' contracts run through, is it 25 or?
They're through 25.
Okay, so that would be consistent. Okay.
We have a roll call, please, Jamie.
Yes, Dr. Behrens.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes.
Mrs. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Van Wassenova.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Zimmerman.
Yes, and the motion carries. We have no old business for this evening, so that will move us to the second round of superintendent comments. Mr. Shaw.
Wonderful. So just a few items for you. First is the Golden Apple. So a big congratulations to Brooke Pluley's second grade class at Custer Elementary for being the recipient of the Monroe County Whole Apple Award for the Classroom of the Year. It's a pretty cool honor right there. They did receive a pizza party last week to celebrate this special recognition. We're proud of these students and their teacher for the work they have done this year with inclusion, acceptance of others, and making all students feel welcome. So unless any of you have been under a rock, graduation is coming, okay? But I want to make sure everyone catches it. Monroe High School's graduation is Friday, June 2nd at 6:30, okay? So please, it's going to be a beautiful night. You know, I think farmers are looking for some rain soon. It's going to be a beautiful night. About 75 degrees out there, right?
No rain.
And then the following Friday night is Orchard. Both events will be live streamed. As you already know, the Trojan Build is the open house is on Thursday, June the 8th from 4 to 6 with a formal ribbon cutting at 4:30. And then you have a whole litany of other events that are still going on as we wrap up this year. So hang tight with us as we bring this year to a close. That's all I have to say, sir.
All right. Darla, do we have any public commentary?
Yes, we have one. Brian Sabadini. I think you know the drill, right?
If Brian doesn't know it by now, nobody knows it.
Right. Go ahead, Brian.
So I've been away a couple of meetings. It's good to see everybody again.
Welcome back.
I was traveling. I did care, but I was traveling. Exciting to hear about the new math. I'm excited to hear about the results when they come in, and hopefully that will really push things up. Very excited to hear about half days. I wish when Allison was that was a constant hassle for people who need daycare and those kinds of situations. Good, finally. I don't know if they ever asked me to give input, but that's great. That's awesome. I feel like we're at the 25-yard line here on getting the stadium up to ADA compliance. I know there are several board members that, but we're still not, I still haven't heard a bid done yet, and I still haven't heard where we're at. So can we push this thing across the goal line? I mean, it's the right thing to do. It's a no-brainer. I know it's going to cost money, understandable, but you really don't have any choice in the matter of whether it's going to cost money or not. It's got to be done. And you being ahead of the curve would be much better than having a situation in which someone brings litigation against you and then you have to react. So I know, like I said, everybody I know in here is in agreement that it needs to be done, but let's push the ball over the line and get it done. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
That concludes public commentary.
Are there any board members with comments tonight?
Absolutely. So to kind of reiterate some things that we've already talked about. So in our work session, we mentioned possible updates to discipline policy and all of that stuff. Originally, we were thinking that we would do that in our June meeting. So like as board members, if you wanted to like refresh and look up and think about what you would like that process to look like so we can have discussions immediately when we sit down instead of having to read, think, and then come back later. I think we could be a little proactive with that. And then similarly, we need to have the goals for our superintendent ready for his evaluation by the end of June. So like that's another thing that as a board, I think that we could be proactive, start thinking about what those goals would look like so that when we do have that work session, when we do have that board meeting, that we can hit the ground running. That's all.
Good. Anyone else?
I have a comment on the Trojan build. As always, congratulations on your successes. I have a wish, and my wish would be that future Trojan builds could be affordable housing done within the city of Monroe. The houses at that price range, are a little eye-popping in all the luxury that they have. But when we look at the demographics of Monroe, it would just be nice if we could focus maybe some builds on some just affordable housing in the city. Just a wish.
Anyone else?
I just look at you because you're the man.
All right. Well, that concludes our agenda for this evening. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Support? Show of hands. This meeting is adjourned. The Monroe